prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
Good morning, Truth Revolution. I'm Dave, and with me is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church.
Good morning. I'm glad to be here. We're going to have a good time today talking about truth.
We always do.
And morals. Actually. Yeah, we always have a good time.
Right.
Why wouldn't we have a good time? We're talking about brain stuff
right. And
religion. Mm-hmm. This is where faith and reason meet.
Right. Right here at the crossroads of faith and reason. And
yeah.
You can hang out here, and it's not really kind of ignorant like a lot of people like to think it is. You know, faith meets reason just perfectly. Like kind of like stacking Legos together, you know?
That's a really good analogy. I like it. I'm going to start stacking Legos every week to prepare for the show.
There you go.
All right. Now, if you are new here to our show, what we do is we approach faith in God and Jesus with our minds and not just tradition. Our goal is to understand what the Bible really says. Mm-hmm. Our goal is to understand if God really exists, if Jesus really rose from the dead. We want facts and archaeology and science and math and biblical understanding, original languages. All those things help us to know the truth. And that's what we're interested in. We're interested in the truth, what really happened, what's real, and nothing imaginary.
Right. And I think the most important thing is where you need to start is to ask yourself, why do I believe? Is it because my grandpa and my father and my many long generations of the people in my past believed? I mean, am I just believing what I've been told? Because sometimes, like we say in the show's intro, sometimes what you've been taught isn't always true.
That's right. We've been taught. I've been taught things that aren't true
right. That
we've discovered on the show. And we said, wow, look, this is not the way it really is.
Right.
So you can go over to our website, truthrevolution.tv, and get some more information about things that are true or things that are false.
Right. We've got a bunch of shows on there. And I got to apologize to some people.
Why? What'd you do this
Dave? It's fixed. That's why I'm apologizing now, because it's much easier to apologize after something's fixed.
Oh, the website.
Yeah, on the website. When we had a bunch of our past shows that weren't coming up.
The links got broke. But it's fixed now.
I broke them. My bad.
You broke them.
I did. But it's all fixed now. So if you've been over there surfing on our past shows and saying, why isn't this coming up? Well, you can go there now. And it's working now.
There you go. Now you have a plethora of information at your fingertips that you can listen to. And it should sound just perfect. Okay, last week we talked about morality,
right,
and atheism, and do morals prove that God exists?
We talked about how like our morals here are really kind of compared to morals with say someone in China, even though it may not seem so right on the surface.
Yeah, that's right. And I got some pushback from that on Facebook from an old friend, and had some good discussion there.
Right on.
I haven't finished answering him yet. I just kind of got busy this week, but
I'll send him the link to the show.
Because we're going to follow up with this show.
Right.
Yeah. You got to listen to both of these. It'll make some more sense. But what we said basically was that all morals, if morals look different in one country than another, it's not because the morality is different. It's because they live them out differently.
Mm-hmm.
As C.S. Lewis put it, he said something along the lines of, some people say you can have multiple wives. Some cultures said you can only have one wife. But they all agreed you can't just have whatever woman you want.
Right.
Like, that's the underlying moral. You know, you can't just have whatever woman you want.
I can't really think of any culture. Now, of course, I'm not really culturally schooled, but I can't, off the top of my head, think of any culture where it says, okay, it's okay for you to have that woman over there, even though she's married to somebody.
That's right.
It's very wrong in every culture that I've seen.
Exactly. So. You can't just have a now, we're entering a culture where people will say, you can have my wife even though I'm married to her, because we want to, but still, they would still agree, you can't just have whoever you want.
Right.
They would say, we have to agree with it.
Right. Okay.
So the morality is still there. Wow.
That's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it looks like it's a different morality, but it's not.
It's not. It's the same. They just apply it differently. Now, how they apply it, we would say some people are wrong in how they apply it, and some people are right in how they apply
it. Agreed.
But the fact is, there's an underlying moral there that everybody agrees with.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've really been looking at some chapters in C.S. Lewis's book, Mere Christianity.
Right.
Great book. If you haven't read it, you need to go out and read it, buy it. It's kind of old, so, you know, some of the language there will kind of mess with you a little bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, not super old, but...
You get used to it after a while, actually, after you get a couple chapters in. You might even start speaking that way.
He was born in 1898, died in 1963, and he talks a lot about the world wars and things like that. Right. So the book, I believe, was written in the 50s and the 40s, so mainly in the 40s. So anyway, on this book, in page 16, he starts talking about the difference between a good rock and a bad rock. Now, let's just imagine, folks, for a minute. We're talking about morality here, and does morality prove God exists? And if we come upon a rock and I stub my toe on it, I would go, "Stupid rock! I'm going to kill you, dumb rock!" You
know, no,
I'm so angry.
Yeah.
But now, is that rock actually a bad rock?
Well, I would be hard pressed to say that any rock is a bad rock because, I mean, rocks are just rocks. Right?
Thank you. Okay.
Unless, of course, they're the really smooth ones that you can kind of, you know, rub on when you're like stressed out. The stress rocks. Those are good rocks.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You have those little round smooth stones that you carry around in your pocket.
I need a stress rock.
I will buy you one.
Okay. If you take a thing like a stone or a tree, it is what it is. And there seems to be no sense in saying there ought to have been otherwise, is what C.S. Lewis says.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Of course, you may say a stone is the wrong shape if you want to use it for something, or a tree is a bad tree because it does not give you shade as you expected, but all you mean is that it doesn't happen to be convenient for some purpose of your own.
Right, and that makes it bad.
Right, and so he's saying you don't actually say that there's a good rock and a bad rock. Now, how is this different than a good person and a bad person?
Well, it depends on what your convenience is.
Well, if someone comes up and stabs me in the heart, is that inconvenient for me?
I would say it's highly inconvenient for you.
It is highly inconvenient for me to be stabbed in the heart. I'm requesting now, generally speaking, do not stab me in the heart. It will put me in a very inconvenient place.
Well, it's inconvenient for me because then I'm doing the show by myself, and I'm not really quite as schooled as you are, and people start to make fun of me, and I get a low self-esteem.
Hey, why is the show just got Dave today? Oh, right. Jeff got stabbed in the chest. Very inconvenient. No,
great.
But see, we wouldn't just say that it's inconvenient. We would say it is...
Wrong.
Very wrong.
Bad.
Murder is evil. It's evil.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, think about the school shooting. You know, all the children. There was over 20 people who died, like 26,
right,
in this recent school shooting. And nobody said this was very inconvenient.
That's true.
They said this is wrong. This is evil. This is the face of evil. And they were right to say that.
Yes.
Because we know that humans and human morality is very different from a rock or a tree being good or bad.
Right.
Good and bad, right or wrong, is not about convenient or inconvenient or what we like or what we don't like. It is about the base reality. There is right and there is wrong, and those morals come from somewhere. It's not just about convenience.
Right.
Now, the atheist often would have us believe that it's our own selves that produce right and wrong decisions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a bunch of quotes from Dawkins here today, and I want you to hear for a moment what Dawkins says about absolute morality and religion.
The absolute morality that a religious person might profess would include what? Stoning people for adultery? Death for apostasy? Punishment for breaking the Sabbath. These are all things which are religiously based absolute moralities. I don't think I want an absolute morality. I think I want a morality that is thought out, reasoned, argued, discussed, and...
Okay, all right. So this doc...
The thing that really annoys me there is what? Like, it's almost like the slow clap at the very end there. It's like you almost picture someone standing up going, right? But you know, no. What? I mean, what he says, I mean, to a point is true, except for he's really coming at it from the wrong angle.
Well, he's totally missing the point here. He's someone had asked him, you know, atheism cannot say where morality comes from. So how can you say that atheism's true if we have all these values that had to come from some moral giver?
Mm-hmm.
I want you to note, he doesn't answer the question. We say, hey, Dawkins, atheism cannot produce morality. What's your response?
The absolute morality that a religious person might profess.
And then he goes on to bang against religious people.
Yes.
There. He doesn't answer the question. He just says, well, I don't like what religious people do. Now, the question he should be posing is, you know, do these religions have good or bad morals? But here's the problem. He's arguing that religions have bad morals. What was the question? Where do morals come from? He's admitting that morals exist.
Right.
He admits that morals exist, and he doesn't answer the question about where do that atheists can't produce morals. And so he has to agree with the question giver that morality is put into us by someone other than the atheist, by ourselves. It was done by a God.
Right.
Now, I just want to answer these questions about adultery. He says, you know, oh, religion makes you stone adultery and kill people and hurt people and blah, blah, blah. I want you to listen to Romans 13, okay? This is 13 verses 9 to 10. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be. So this is the Bible talking about itself, talking about any command it gives are summed up in this one command, quote, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law.
Amen.
Here we go. Now, this is the Bible's statement on what all the other laws are about. And it is saying it is all about loving your neighbor, period. Everything. And Dawkins can complain if he wants to that he doesn't like the prescriptions to punish people who've done wrong. But the fact remains, those laws were given to punish people who'd done wrong, who had hurt other people.
Right. Somebody got hurt, so somebody had to pay.
Right. Every single law in the Bible was done because you have to love someone else. That is it. Romans 13, love does no harm. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. He can talk bad about religious people all he wants, but the entire encapsulation of all Christianity and Judaism is love. Love. Now, we're going to come back on the other side of the show, of the other side of the break, and you're going to hear him say some pretty crazy things about religion being totally bad. But I want you not to miss the point that he did not answer the question. Atheists cannot answer the question, where do morals come from, sufficiently.
Right, because they have no place to pull it from except from ourselves.
That's exactly right. And he's actually going to suggest that we pulled it from ourselves, but we're going to talk a little bit about why that's insufficient of an answer. And we got a lot more material to get through. Go to truthrevolution.tv. Check out, you can donate, or you can come out to Revolution Church this morning.
All right, that's coming up at 10:15.
You're going to enjoy it. I promise you'll love it.
Yep, come as you are.
Come as you are. Just come on out right now. And no judgment. We are here to learn about God and to care about each other, because love is the fulfillment of the law. That's right. So, hey, check us out, truthrevolution.tv. Be here back on the other side of the break, and we're going to talk about naturalism, about how morals cannot be produced by any other way other than God giving them to us. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church. Not only am I the host of the Truth Revolution radio program, but I'm also a foster parent. Did you know that there are only 20 or 30 children in Salina that need to be adopted right now? Did you know that there are children in foster care who want to live in Salina but are sometimes placed in other towns because we don't have enough foster homes here? I want to challenge you to consider foster care today. If you're interested in doing foster care, go to kfapa.com. That's K-F-A-P-A, as in the Kansas Foster and Adoptive Parent Association. KFAPA.com, and get more information. You can request information, email and ask any questions you want, or possibly even sign up to take a class about foster parenting. It's easier and more difficult than you'd ever imagine, but it's also more rewarding than you'd ever imagine. Consider fostering and helping a child in need today.
This is Dave
and Jeff
from the Truth Revolution Show. We want to invite you to Revolution Church this Sunday at 10:15 a.m. Revolution Church welcomes everyone and every question.
If you want to explore who God is, come join us.
And bring any question you have, because we have answers.
Why does the dryer eat my socks? Can I get married but not have a mother-in-law?
How much is a long-distance call to the moon?
Well, we don't have answers for all your questions, just the important ones.
Revolution Church, Sunday morning at 10:15 a.m.
www.salinarevolution.com.
Truth Revolution.
And we're back.
Hey.
Truth Revolution, we're talking about morals and how they apply and where they come from.
Naughty and nice.
Mm-hmm.
Hope you guys have gotten over to truthrevolution.tv. And we're going to continue this because we're trying to point out that morality shows that God exists. Now, C.S. Lewis, in his book Mere Christianity, he said this, it's page 18. We might try to make out that when you say a man ought not to act as he does, you only mean the same as when you say that a stone is the wrong shape, that it's inconvenient to you, but that's simply untrue. And we pointed this out, like the school shooting, right?
Right.
No one would say it's inconvenient. Everyone would say it's right. Wrong, it's terrible. Evil. And so we know there are absolute moral standards. But the problem is, I want you to listen to Richard Dawkins again. This is a different quote. He says that good morals are a recent product.
If you actually look at the moralities that are accepted among modern people, among 21st century people,
okay.
We don't believe in slavery anymore. We believe in equality of women. We believe in being gentle. We believe in being kind to animals. These are all things which are entirely recent.
Well, that's crazy because one of the things we talked about a couple weeks ago was how the idea of slavery was quite different back in biblical times.
I know. He needs to listen to our show.
He does.
You know,
send him the link.
The problem is he doesn't understand. He has made a false statement here for one. He has said, now in modern times, we know that slavery is bad. Right. Well, not everybody does. There's still slavery all over
that's
the place.
True.
He says, we know that you have to be kind to animals. There's a lot of people who are mean to animals.
That's true. Otherwise...
So, sorry. Shh. No, but PETA is not the first organization to say, we need to love our animals.
Right. That was the ASPCA, right? No, but seriously, when I was a kid, I didn't need the ASPCA or PETA to tell me, hey, you need to be kind to that cat. Now, maybe when I was like 6 months old, you know, and I was just discovering a cat, you know, pulling on its tail, pulling on its ears.
Yeah.
But you're in that mode of discovery. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
But it's like as you grow older and you actually get a brain, before I even knew who PETA was, before he knew who the ASPCA was, I was kind to animals.
Oh, no kidding. I mean, even the Bible gives laws specifically about treating animals right.
Mm-hmm.
It talks about not muzzling the ox when it's treating out the grain. It talks about if you, a wise man is kind to even his animals. I mean, that's thousands and thousands of years ago.
Right.
So Dawkins is just wrong. These morals are not modern inventions. He talks about slavery as if the Bible promoted it. It doesn't, as we pointed out on that other show. There's even a book in the Bible, Philemon, that is all about getting rid of slaves.
Right.
About setting them free.
Right. And the whole thing is since seems like we've recently discovered that slavery is wrong. No. This was a moment in time where something was happening over several centuries that was a bad thing. And we eventually purged it.
That's exactly right. Hey, why don't we take a break for a second, do our Bible contradiction.
Okay.
Bible contradiction.
Ta-da-da. All right. Today's Bible contradiction is brought to you by the number 2 million.
What? Okay.
All right. We're talking about sheer numbers here.
Yeah.
In Exodus 14, 21 through 29, it talks about how the 2 million people crossed the Red Sea in the Exodus.
When Moses parted the waters.
Right.
And all of Israel walked across, and then Pharaoh chased them, and God smashed the waters back on Pharaoh, and he died.
Now, the problem that some atheists have with this is that according to the account of the crossing of the Red Sea, the massive group of fleeing Israelites...
Hey, hold on a sec. You said some problems some atheists have with this. I just want to point out, it's not just atheists.
Okay.
There are people who believe in the Bible who also say the Bible isn't all the way true.
Okay, right. I'll agree with that.
Okay, so I just wanted to point that out.
This is for everybody, not just...
anyone who doesn't think the Bible is inerrant.
All right. The problem is that according to the account of the crossing of the Red Sea, the massive group of fleeing Israelites must have had no more than 24 hours to cross through the portion of the Red Sea which God had prepared. However, according to the number given, there were some 2 million of them.
Wait.
See Numbers 1, 45 through 46. Just wait a minute. But for the multitude of this size, a 24-hour period is just not long enough.
So there wasn't enough time to get across.
Right.
And you were reading there from Norman Geisler's Big Book of Bible Difficulties, which is a good book. Everybody should buy it.
Why did the Israelites cross the ocean?
No.
Get to the other tide.
That's not funny. Okay. Look, okay, so how did they get across in 24 hours? The right. answer is, why the heck do they think it had to happen in 24 hours? The right. Bible doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. The only thing it says is that in a morning, God brought the waters back. It mm-hmm. says that in verse 26, I believe, or verse 22. So it happened in the morning, but it doesn't mean it was the next morning and they had 12 or 24 hours. It could have been a week later. I mean, we just don't know right. how long it took. In addition, even if it was 24 hours, which it doesn't demand it has to be 24 hours, it doesn't mean they were walking across single file with a line right. leader.
So what you're saying is it would be convenient for people to actually use your cracked acronym.
Oh, when yeah, studying there we go.
This part of the scripture.
There we go. And let's, C means context, which would help us a little bit because if you read the context, nowhere does it say 24 hours, right. you got to get across. Author's intent, mm-hmm. He isn't trying to intend to say that they got across in 24 hours either. So, you got to apply a little common sense, which is the next C. You got to give it some credibility. Do you think the Israelites were so dumb that when they're fleeing from an army, they fleed single file?
Right.
I mean, give me a break.
I know. Yeah. Whenever an army is chasing a group of people, I have now. Granted, I only get my information from movies.
There's an army coming. Everybody, quick, get in line.
Single file now. Single file.
Hey, you're nice out of line. Orderly. You're out of line. Go to the back. Go to the back of the line. I don't want to go. They're going to kill me.
Right.
You should have gotten out of line. Look, I mean, they could have walked in a path 3-4 miles wide. Mm-hmm.
Right.
It doesn't say. So anyway, that's the answer for our Bible contradiction. Today.
Bible contradiction.
Wow.
Go to the end of the line.
I don't have to beat them. I only have to beat you, right? As long as I'm not the last one across, I'm good.
All right. Now, here's a question for us to ponder about morals.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we do our schoolwork honestly? Why do we tell our children to be honest in the schoolwork when it'd be really easy to cheat? Now, is there any reason beyond, well, I wouldn't actually learn, and it would make things harder for me later? I think there is.
I'm trying to think practically here.
Maybe cheating is wrong, maybe? Right. Like, mm-hmm. maybe this is a moral value?
Well, right, because, I mean, other than the fact that it would hurt you later on,
yeah,
there is no other reason that the human mind might be able to think of.
Exactly. Listen to Dawkins again.
If you actually look at the moralities that are accepted among modern people, among 21st century people, we don't believe in slavery anymore. We believe in equality of
men. Okay. He's talking about modern morals. He's like, we don't believe in all those animals. Bad things anymore.
These are all things which are entirely recent.
Wait a minute. What he innuendos, and if you listen to the entire clip, he's suggesting that we have done things as humans to make things easier for ourselves to get along. We've done away with slavery because I don't want someone to put me in slavery.
Right.
We've done away with being mean to animals because we like having nice animals. But there's no reason to not cheat on a test.
Right.
If you can cheat on a test.
Yeah, other than the fact that it's going to give you a good grade and you'll suffer later on.
Right.
And, and being the type of...
And maybe that's his whole point, right. is, well, you should just study it to learn. But right. but really, he would probably say it's wrong. If he wouldn't say it's wrong, then we would have to have a debate about that.
Right.
So, anyway. Right.
And so, where does that morality come from is what we're trying to ask.
Right. Now, he says morality, and most atheists would say that morality comes from naturalistic means. Mm-hmm. And there's two different types of naturalism. There's one called metaphysical naturalism. And in this, there are materialists, there's pantheists. I want to talk about the materialists. Okay? The people who believe that there's just physical stuff. There's you, there's me, our bodies, tables, pianos, and stuff like that. There's not anything other than physical stuff. Everything reduces to natural material. Okay.
Right.
Now, they would say that miracles are impossible or miracles are irrational. But what's the problem with this? Well, let me tell you. The problem is that it would be impossible to ever come to the conclusion that God exists, no matter what the proof is. Okay. If you say my first belief is that morals come from us humans, and there is no spiritual stuff. There is nothing else. There cannot be anything else. It's all physical. No matter what evidence presented it to you, you will not believe in God. Even if God himself were to show up, you would simply say, I must have eaten some bad broccoli.
Right. So you're saying that you're shutting off any kind of possibilities.
Exactly. You're shutting off any possibility. Mm-hmm. Now, this isn't necessarily about morals specifically, but we're pointing out how ridiculous it is to be a naturalist.
Right. And they're being as closed-minded as they say some people that are religious are being closed-minded.
That's right. Norman Geisler says, another argument revealing the inconsistency of pure naturalism was offered by C.S. Lewis. If my mental processes are determined wholly by the motion of atoms in my brain, I have no reason to suppose that my beliefs are true, and hence I have no reason for supposing my brain to be composed of atoms. Did you get it?
It's kind of a circle there, isn't it?
It is, because if everything is natural and nothing is unphysical or non-physical, then all you've got is atoms in your brain that are producing these random thoughts. If all you have is random thoughts, maybe your thoughts are wrong.
Right.
And maybe you don't even have atoms in your brain because that's just a random thought that you had that by a physical process.
My brain's getting mushy.
No, but seriously, let's just think about this for a second. What is something that is non-physical? An idea. You cannot touch it. You cannot see it. It's just an idea. And it exists. Naturalism is ridiculous. Now, the other type of naturalism is methodological naturalism. This means, you know, they want to be naturalists in their methods. So they say spiritual stuff might exist. Okay. God may have given us morals, but we have to deny God's existence or deny spiritual things when we study. Otherwise, we're going to run into a God of the gaps theory.
Right. And they don't want to confuse themselves. They might actually learn something.
Right. Wait, no. And a God of the gaps is like saying, oh, I don't understand something. God must have done it.
Right.
You know, like,
and we run into people like that all the time.
Sure, sure. You know, I don't understand how the earth was created. Well, God did it, and it couldn't have, you know, it must not really be rock. You know, it must be something special. And it's wrong to just say, oh, well, God did it, and there's no way for us to understand it, because then you're limiting yourself. But the problem is, naturalists do the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They have naturalism of the gaps. They've said, look,
exactly.
I'm just going to put naturalist stuff in there, and you know, I'm not going to accept God as an answer.
Right.
You know, even if it could possibly be an answer, I'm just going to reject it.
Right. And what we're trying to do, we're like totally right in the middle. You know,
right.
We want you to think about it.
Right.
Use the brain that God gave you.
Right. We know God created things with physical substance. Mm-hmm. So let's study things with science and math, and let's study archaeology. Let's do the hardcore studying and researching, because we'll learn things.
Right.
We've learned all sorts of stuff about the atom and DNA and the universe.
And let's be honest about it. I don't think God would want us to just take it on just blind faith that, okay, God created the earth.
Or irrational faith.
Or irrational faith that God created the earth, because then you're not using the intelligence that God gave you to use.
And at the same time, don't just throw God out.
Right.
We can't just say, well, I'm only going to look at physical stuff and I'm not even going to pretend like God might have done something. Well, that's just as blind as saying God did everything. Now, we agree. I mean, in some sense, as Christians, we think God does everything. He created it all, because it all started with him. But that doesn't mean we don't study. And anyone who isn't a Christian doesn't mean you should just exclude the existence of God automatically, a priori, because that's ridiculous, too.
Right. And I mean, the thing is that when you start asking questions, then you start getting answers.
Yeah.
And those answers create more questions.
That's
right. And you kind of move along that way, and you know, you're better for it.
In other words, we should seek to find the truth about whether God or miracles have interacted with nature, and not just throw out perfectly good explanations. So simply allowing for a designer to be a possible answer doesn't demand he has to be the answer in every case. Like, some gaps are obviously some gaps are obviously answerable, even though we may not have the answer yet. Some things are undiscovered, but we don't say they don't exist, like elements. We simply theorize based on our current knowledge. And of course, some things we cannot explain at all. And these gaps may be candidates for a designer, but you don't have to put a designer in there. Now, let's bring this all the way back to morals. Where do these morals come from? Does it have to be a physical substance that produced them? No. And if you say it can't be God, and that's your first line of thought, you've ruled out a priori any possible existence of God.
Right. And you made yourself ignorant for trying to be not ignorant.
That's right. Okay, so we're going to have one more quote by Richard Dawkins after the show's over. You got to go to our website, truthrevolution.tv.
That's right.
To hear this. So get on over there. The show will be up approximately 1 minute after we're done on air, or whenever we're done.
Right.
So go ahead and check that out. Come on out to Revolution Church, 10:15 in the morning.
Coming up here pretty quick.
Love to have you.
Just come what you usually wear out in the yard or out in the park or whatever.
Yep. That's right. Unless you wear a suit. Don't.
Well, you could do that.
All right, Revolution Church, truthrevolution.tv. See you next week.
Truth Revolution.
Man, we're online.
Online, party time.
Letting the hair down.
Woo! All right, so we, I don't know where that dog keeps coming from. He's a, someone call PETA. All right. I said that we would...
He's on it.
We'd have one more quote by... Dawkins.
Okay.
Did I say Dembski before?
No, you said Dawkins.
Okay, good. All right.
I think.
And Dawkins is going to say that good in religions is cherry picking.
Right.
I just wanted to cover this because it was ridiculous. He's saying, you know, oh, well, religion isn't as moral as atheists are, basically. Because the Bible and the Quran are all full of evil things all the way through. And to find something good, you have to cherry pick.
Right. It makes me kind of wonder, I mean, does this guy actually do any research in the Bible? Or is he just building his arguments on what somebody else said?
Yeah.
Because let me tell you, when I read the Bible, I mean, it's not like I'm not filled with dread. I'm not filled with doom and gloom. I mean, the Bible is a book of hope.
Yeah.
And when I read the Bible, there's sometimes I can't put it down because it fills my heart with hope.
Yeah. Well, honestly, I don't know. I don't know if he knows what the content of the Bible is and he just is ignoring.
Mm-hmm.
The truth, the reality that most of it's really good and there's some difficult things in there, or if he's just lying about it, or if he actually doesn't know. I don't know what the reality is. We're going to answer the question, but here, listen to him in his own words.
These do not come from religion to the extent that you can...
No, he said these do not come from religion. He's talking about good morals, okay?
Right. These do not come from religion to the extent that you can find the good bits in religious scriptures. You have to cherry pick.
To me, that's just wrong.
Well, it is. Now, listen, we read this Bible verse during the show, but I want to read it again. Romans 13, 9 and 10. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, whatever other command there may be are summed up in this one command. So here we have the Bible telling us the whole point of every rule in the Bible. It is, quote, love your neighbor as yourself, unquote. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law.
Right.
Now, he obviously doesn't know this verse, because if he did, he would look at every law in the Bible and say, how is this loving? And he would find and understand that these laws are loving. Luke 6, Jesus is talking, who's our highest authority, higher than everything else. Jesus says, to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others what you would have them do to you. And this is what sums up all of Scripture. Jesus is the highest authority. This is not cherry picking. This is the whole point.
And one of the greatest things is once you really kind of figure it out, is that Jesus came here to basically tell us, you need to love each other.
Yes.
And that's it. That's the bottom line.
I know. It's just how he cannot see this. I don't know. It drives me nuts. That's all. It just drives me nuts. So, you know, all right. So basically, let's sum this up. Morals are not just about convenience.
Right.
Okay. A rock that you stub your foot on, it's a bad rock, but only because it's inconvenient. You didn't like it. But there are actual things like killing children.
Mm-hmm.
That are evil, that are wrong.
Yes.
So morals are different than inconveniences. Now, if the atheist Dawkins is right, everything that we say is right and wrong is only a matter of convenience or inconvenience.
Right.
Meaning, if a different culture thinks it's more convenient to kill the children, then that is okay for them.
That makes it fine.
If morals are a matter of convenience, that you can do whatever you want in whatever culture you happen to be in.
Right.
But he's wrong. There is true evil and there is true good. I don't care what culture you're in, murdering children is wrong, and so on and so forth. All right, truthrevolution.tv, thanks for coming to the website. We'll see you next week or at Revolution Church.